Here we are. Yes, I'm Pastor Tom Baker, all by myself today on this September the 26th in the year of our Lord 2016. And we're taking a look at readings for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, which will be occurring this coming Sunday. The one we're going to be looking at for today, as indicated by the promo, is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, we talked last week about the different kinds of worldviews, and I made the point that the purpose of a confirmation class, which I hope to be at today at 12:45 at Trinity Orchard Farm, is to change the worldview of the students. Why would you want to change the worldview? Aren't they Christians? Oh, yes. They're Christians, but every Christian has two worldviews. The one is by the old Adam. The other one is the new man, namely Christ in us. So, as you look at the scripture, the purpose of reading the scripture is to understand the proper worldview as found from God's word. Because the way God thinks is the way that we ought to think. But how does a child get to know this worldview? Well, we baptize infants, which means they do receive not only the gift of the remission of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who dwells within us that, according to verse 14 of 2 Timothy 1, will guard the good deposit entrusted to Timothy. But let's go back to verse 5, because here we understand where a worldview comes from. I am reminded, Paul says to Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Now, the word faith, like many other words in the Bible, can be taken a number of ways. Like the word law has almost a dozen different meanings. It can mean moral law, civil law, ceremonial law. It can mean the first use of the law, the second use of the law, the third use of the law. It can mean just things that happen in creation according to God's laws, principles of life. You have to look at the context. So when it says, and Moses brought the law down from Mount Sinai, that would be referring to the Ten Commandments. So the context is pretty clear. But this faith can be understood not only as trust in the promises, but it also includes the doctrines surrounding God's way of thinking. A very simple example, and this was a paper I gave out to the kids on Thursday, asking them, how would you reply to someone who says, I don't believe in God, I believe instead in evolution, which doesn't need a God? And I was quite happy to see the answers. There were a number of very good points made, and they would always tie it back to God's holy word. You see, that's where we get our worldview from. And therefore, there's no doubt that Lois, the grandmother of Timothy, and his mother Eunice, they taught that worldview. And being a Christian, Timothy believed that worldview. And therefore, having a biblical worldview makes a huge difference in how you interpret reality. I'll just give you one long gospel example. There's no doubt that in most religions of the world, they believe in a sense in karma, What's karma? What goes around comes around. Or when we're talking about the law, you get what you deserve. So when the tsunami hit, many people were wondering, what did we do wrong that we should have such a disaster befall us? See, that's karma. So last week, I'm driving from a funeral home, making arrangements for a funeral, going to youth confirmation, and my right tire on the car, right front tire, it just blows up. Now, I've got a choice. I could say, God, what did I do wrong that you're allowing me to have my tire blow up? Not only is it going to cost me money, but I'm going to be late for my appointments. I could have said that. But because of the worldview I have, particularly when I'm doing church work, my first thought was, wow, what surprises does God have in store for me? Well, the first one, and I was going 60 miles an hour, is that I didn't flip over or crash into someone else. I was able to actually drive the car to a nearby gas station, phone AAA and my wife, both of whom appeared at the same time. So my wife went home with the AAA guy, dropping the car off at Dobbs, and then on the way he dropped her off at the corner. He had to go right by it on the way to Dobbs. I mean, what a surprise. And I took the van she had brought, and I was only 45 minutes late for confirmation. Plus, I had a wonderful story to tell the kids. You see, when something bad happens, from a human point of view, you therefore have a choice to make. Is God punishing me? Is he testing me? Is it a consequence of my sin? See, sometimes it might be a consequence of your sin, because there is no forgiveness in the temporal realm. The forgiveness only occurs in the spiritual realm. So, a lot of times we're just not sure. When you see something bad happen to someone, you just cannot jump to the conclusion that the friends of Job did. Oh, Job, you must have done something wrong. God's just getting even with you. See, Job had a proper understanding in that case, knowing that that's not how God operates. But how sad that so many people think that. So, going on with Paul's letter to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Well, Timothy is becoming a pastor. He had the hands of Paul laid on him, which, by the way, with ordination still does occur in many worship services when a new pastor is becoming ordained. And he talks about fanning into flame the gift of God. Well, what's this gift he's talking about? Well, last week we talked about the requirements of a pastor. One of them was the ability to teach. Another one was the ability to visit. I just heard of a pastor who a congregation was going to call until they found out that he doesn't like doing visits. And he expects the elders to do the shut-in visits as well as hospital calls. Well, they didn't call him because they need somebody who can do all kinds of visits. That's what a pastor does. So this gift of grace that God had given to Timothy, Paul was really aware of it because he had gone through the same process. Now, this is why it's important to read these letters, because they give a worldview. And remember what we mean by a worldview. This is simply the kind of thinking we have that interprets reality. I gave you the example of some bad thing happens to you. You've got a number of options. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Now, see, that is a view of reality, an interpretation that not many religions have. That God doesn't choose people because, oh, that is exactly the kinds of abilities and authority and attitude that I want. No, a lot of times God chooses the least likely person. Today, I believe at 4:30, I'll be on Issues, Etc., doing the Sunday school lesson of Gideon. I'll just give you a little foretaste. Gideon not only came from an insignificant tribe, but he was the youngest in his family. And he really wasn't somebody who people regarded as really brave and strong and with great authority. That's the way God does it. Look it. Who did God choose to fight against Goliath? David, a young man, a lad. And what kind of armament did he give him? No, nothing much, just a slingshot. You see, that's all that God needs. He still does his work through us. But these are the least likely people. For example, and I've said this before, I can only imagine the conversation in heaven between the Holy Trinity and maybe Gabriel and Michael when God says, well, we need a apostle to the Gentile. Any ideas, Gabriel, Michael? Now, I'm making this up, obviously, but and they say, well, Peter was a pretty good disciple, although he did put his foot in his mouth every now and then. Well, how about John? And they would maybe name some of the disciples or some of those who really took courage to follow Jesus. Who does God decide? No, we're going to choose a man named Saul who is murdering Christians. Oh, really? Talk about the least likely person. You see, Paul wasn't called because of his great works in the church. He was called because by grace he came into this apostleship, this office, and this faith. Because of his own purpose and grace. That's what God says. And verse 10 goes on of 2 Timothy 1, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay, there's a worldview. Jesus Christ, what does it mean that he abolished death? Because people are still dying today, even Christians. He's talking about that death that was spoken of at the beginning of creation. In the day that you sin, death will be the result. In other words, eternal death, eternal condemnation. Jesus abolished death. Why? Because death is the punishment for sin. But for the Christian who has faith in Jesus Christ, that punishment is abolished. Jesus took it upon himself. And therefore, death is abolished. And then he brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. Every other religion would say that you get to be saved by obedience to the law. That's where law and gospel is so critical. Email me if you find one verse in the Bible that says we're saved because of the law. Now, the law has a purpose in saving us. You go to a doctor, you don't feel well, he does a diagnosis. That sometimes isn't good news, but that's kind of the law. Here's what's wrong with you. Then he does a treatment. And what's the treatment? Well, here's how to fix it. So if it's a headache, maybe all you need is a couple of Advil. But when it is death eternally, then you need someone who's going to take that death upon himself, suffer it for you, and therefore bring you life and immortality through the gospel. You see, where does that worldview become very, very, very important? When you go and attend the funeral of a loved one, you don't have any doubt because of this promise that the loved one who believes in Jesus is now with him in bliss, in happiness. Sunday night, I was, just taking a look at various television stations, and I went to EWTN again. That's that Roman Catholic program. And this one was very good. It was talking about the Fifth Commandment, and they were very much against abortion and such. But to begin the program, they had a question left over from the previous program. And that is, what happened to all those people in the Old Testament times who were good people but had not heard of Jesus Christ? Were they saved? And the priest said they were. Wow. I mean, that really surprised me that he was that blunt. But that is a teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, that because works plays such an important part in your salvation, if there is an unbeliever out there who is still doing good works, then that's called the anonymous Christian, and it is sufficient for him to be saved because of his good works. He even said, based on whatever God that he knows about at that time. Well, that's nowhere found in the Bible. All are lost except through Jesus Christ. We know that preaching the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and someone believes that, they can come to faith. And it can occur anywhere in the world. Paul goes on that I needed to preach the gospel, and verse 11 says, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. Now listen to the next part. Which is why I suffer as I do. Well, he's in prison. Timothy is probably being persecuted. What are they talking about? They're talking about, because we stand up for Jesus, guess what? We will suffer in this world. And it's not because God is punishing us. No, it's because this world is that of the devil's. And therefore we fight against powers and principalities and the devil himself. But we will never lose. One word can fell him. See, this is a worldview that brings comfort when every other religious worldview does not. That's very important to understand. That the biblical worldview is a different worldview than the worldview which you were born with. And should you not be surprised at that? Because every human being is born with what's referred to as original sin, inherited from Adam and Eve. And that original sin, therefore, has us thinking not divine thoughts, but human thoughts. What can I get out of this? What's in it for me? Self-interest is really, really important. So, 2 Timothy 1 is a very, very clear text detailing the worldview that God has in contrast to the worldview which we were born with and which much of the world uses. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be with Mark Smith examining a hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded. And we're probably not going to have time to play the whole hymn. So I thought that would be a good thing to do at the end of this program. And that is, I Know My Faith Is Founded. And that'll be in preparation for tomorrow's Law and Gospel, where Mark Smith and I will be talking about, and guess what? This hymn. And so please listen to it. It's one with appropriate words, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And then tomorrow we'll be back with Pastor Mark Smith and examining the various verses of this hymn in order that you would come to a better understanding of what God has in store for us. So, without further ado, let us hear, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.